It's time for the Phenology Show. Phenology is the rhythmic biological nature of events as they relate to climate. Our climate is pretty mild right now. This is, today's what, the 17th? Have I got the date right? Is today? 18th. It's the 18th. I'm off by a day. Oh, well, that's pretty close for a guy who's not really working anymore. So on the 18th of September, typically we would have had a frost by now in Grand Rapids. Our average first frost of the fall is around the 16th of September. No frost yet. Some years now, lately, we have gone into October without a killing frost. Killing frost differs from a light frost by about 3 degrees. So a light frost would be 32 or 31.9 down to about 29. At 29, 28, we start talking about killing frosts because that is cold enough to freeze the water inside of the plant tissues and cause actual damage. And so 28, 29 degrees is typically what I call a killing frost, and above 29 is usually just a light frost. And we haven't had either one, although one morning I did have a bit of slush on my windshield of my car. And I know that there was some frost in Floodwood and Hibbing and up the range. In that country, they have had a light frost already. So we'll see. We'll just keep our eye on that. In the meantime, Ed Dallas from Deerwood says that he's had one Hummer in the last few days. He saw his last Orioles last week on Monday. And he also noted the lack of wasps and hornets around his hummingbird feeders. And I've noticed the same thing, and we got to talking about it, and we decided that it wasn't that we missed them and wanted some. It was just that they weren't around, and we'd noticed. Actually, I think that probably the wasps and hornets are just overwhelmed by the numbers of fruits and nuts that are out there. Probably not nuts. I don't particularly see the wasps as being hungry for nuts, but other animals are, and will continue to chase those food sources. But the wasps have got a lot of food sources right now, plums and apples and just, oh, any number of fruits that are out there on the plants, and they're doing pretty well, and the birds are as well. I've been watching some high bush cranberries, including the one here in our rain garden, and the berries are nice and red and ripe, and I don't expect them to be eaten for quite some time. They're among those foods that the birds kind of save for late in the season. And speaking of that, northern holly berries have finally turned red. And the northern holly is sometimes known as the black alder, or it's sometimes called winterberry. And those berries of the northern holly are, well, they're coming red. They'll be kind of reddish orange. And then the plant will withdraw some of the chemicals that are called saponins. It will withdraw those saponins from the fruits. And once they do that, the robins and the white-throated sparrows, the cedar waxwings, the bohemian waxwings, all of those birds will sort of turn and begin to feast on those berries. But in the meantime, they're awfully bitter. And in fact, they're awfully bitter even with the saponins out of them. They're not a berry that you and I would have a pie full of, believe me. So look at if you're, you know, walking in the woods and you see these dark green leaves and dark gray bark and bright red berries, those are the northern holly. And you can harvest a few branches and bring them home and put them in some water, put them in your house. They'll be lovely to look at for a few weeks. Looking back, some of my notes over the past week, on the 11th, I noted that the sumacs were becoming mostly red. Now, I have seen sumacs in shaded areas that are still green as can be, but most of the sumacs that are out and exposed where the sun can get at them have become quite remarkably red right now. And another plant that has changed recently is the fireweed. And up until a week ago or so, there was still some magenta color left on the fireweed, but now they are primarily in seed. And the seeds are white or grayish white and kind of curly looking. And I used to think it reminded me of the old pine hog's hair. And now I'm becoming the old pine hog, and it's starting to remind me of my own hair. So curly and white. And that's kind of where it's going with the fireweed and with yours truly. Last Tuesday, the wind was blowing pretty strong. And Wednesday, again, strong southerly winds both days. And two things that I noticed as a result of those strong winds. One was that the turkey vultures were just having a ball. They were playing on that wind, and they were soaring and swaying and tipping this way and that. And they just looked like they were having so much fun up there riding the winds. And the other thing I noticed is that the Norway pine needles began to come down, and that was just a little bit early. Usually it's about now, about this time of the month, the middle of the month, that the Norway pine, red pine needles begin to fall. And so there are some red pine needles on the ground. I haven't seen any of the other trees, the jack pines, the Scots pines, or the white pines. None of those have really begun to drop their needles yet. And I suspect it was just the early start that the Norways got, and then that really strong southerly wind, which tore loose a lot of those 3-, 4-, and 5-year-old needles. So watch the trees in your yard. Watch the pines. You can even see it on the spruce and the balsam. All of those conifers are going to begin to shed their leaves. And those leaves will be, in the case of the conifers, 3, 4, and 5 years old before they're actually shed by the trees. But you will see them beginning to come down over the next few weeks. If you're looking at white pines, the needles turn a sort of a yellow. And I've noticed that this past week, that the white pine needles are turning a bit yellow. Last week, when the Norway pine needles were falling, the white pines hadn't even begun to change yet. And usually they run kind of simultaneously. So the white pines and the Norways are a little bit out of sync this year. I was going up a week ago to Virginia, actually up to the Laurentian Environmental Center, and on the way, I noticed along the 169, kind of northeast of Pengilly, but before I got to Nashwauk, there was a stretch of median, that strip of grass and plants in between the two lanes of highway, that was just full of evening primrose, and in bloom, lots of them, and I was, of course, traveling at 65 or 70 miles an hour, and I wasn't paying close attention, or I didn't stop to look at them. But if you know anything about, if you're driving that road frequently, or if you know anything about those evening primrose and why they're there and why they are there in such numbers, were they planted? Are they a variety? If you know something about those evening primrose, get in touch with me. I'd like to learn more about them. They were quite surprising. Lots of starlings are flocking up right now. I saw a flock of about 30 on the power lines along Blue Heron Drive, and that's typically a fall event, and they will hang around for a little while eating in the fields, and then off they'll go to a more salubrious climate. The maples along Blue Heron Drive are just beginning to fleck. The maples in my yard are still pretty darn green, but there are maples all around the area that are really starting to get quite colorful. Many of them are solid colors now, and leaves are beginning to fall from some of the maples. So keep an eye on the maples. They should reach their peak of color, well, typically a week from now, and then going on into early October. So in the next 10 days or so, I would expect the maples to really hit their full color, even though they look pretty green right now. That's going to happen. I saw on Friday last week, I saw a monarch, or no, it was Thursday last week. I saw a monarch. I saw my last, I think, hummingbird. When I used to write these things in my calendars, I would write down hummingbird, last hummingbird ? or last robin ? And then I would see that write that note over and over and over again until finally there was no more notes about robins or hummingbirds. This is typically the time of year that we see our last ones. Now, I may have seen my last one on the 13th. I don't know. But I suspect that it's usually about now. I think the average date for last hummingbird for me is the 16th of September. And we are, of course, past that day, but I know that there are still hummingbirds in the area and they're still kind of working their way through. So if you see hummingbirds, why, send those notes along. Love to hear from you. Another thing that's happened, you may recall last week I said that the black ash were beginning to drop their leaves and I'd seen my first bare ash. Well, there are lots of bare ash out there now, and they are mostly growing in lowland areas. But what I have noticed is that where the black ash have succeeded in growing on high ground, away from the watery, swampy areas where they are typically found, those ash are just beginning to turn color. And if you're driving along this morning, look for truly yellow trees. Now, there are a lot of variations in yellow, of course, but the ones that seem to be the most pure yellow tend to be ash trees right now. And so watch for them. And these are black ash, but they grow on better soils and better areas than the black ash that grow in the swamps. And they seem to have just a slightly later fall phenology going for them. Yesterday, I took quite a long walk with my dog, and many things were seen. White oaks are flecking. Red oaks are flecking. That flecking refers to the first colored leaves appearing on the trees. The white oaks, the red oaks, and even a pin oak. I have a nice, beautiful pin oak in the over on my neighbor Marvin's field, actually field edge. And it's just beginning. All three of those, you can just begin to see that leaves are going to turn on those trees. So the oaks are starting to turn. The decorative crab apples, the bird, I call them bird crabs because the birds really like them. They are getting red right now, and I wouldn't be surprised but what the robins and the ruffed grouse will begin to come in and eat them probably before next week. Black-eyed Susan's last flowers, tansy last flowers, large-leafed asters. There's still a lot of large-leafed asters in flower. And the northern heart-leafed aster seems to be the predominant blue-purple flower of the woods right now. And it is absolutely gorgeous. It is just full of lovely, lovely large purplish blue flowers. Now, I have a patch of New England asters on the back of my house in a kind of a prairie area, and they haven't even begun to bloom yet, but they will bloom well into the frosty periods of October. So we'll be watching them for their first blooms. Another plant that grows in my yard quite profusely, well, I keep it in a patch. I don't allow it to spread. It's called Jerusalem artichoke, and it is a rhizotomously spread. That is, it grows roots, and the roots then sprout up with new plants. So I have this little patch. It's probably about 12 feet by maybe 9 or 10 feet, and it is a week ago, it really was at its peak of bloom. Everywhere you looked at the top of these plants, dark green leaves, beautiful, bright yellow flowers. This week, still pretty much the same, although the flowers are decreasing in their intensity. So we'll be keeping an eye on those. The swamp milkweed has just begun to burst. Pods are open. Seeds are flying. First two or three seeds. I found plenty of big green pods on mine that are not yet beginning to change. And I'm sure that over the next weeks, they will burst open and the seeds will come flying out and we'll see where they land and see if we can start some new patches of swamp milkweed. This is a good time of year to gather swamp milkweed seeds or common milkweed seeds. Go find one of those plants. The common milkweeds are quite yellow right now. The leaves are yellow and the big green pods are still right there, prevalent and full of seeds. take a pod or two. You really only need one. Leave the rest for the natural seeding. But take a pod, bring it home, stir up the ground a little bit, kick it around, get some fresh dirt, and throw the seed pod down there, or throw, break it open and spread the seeds out. And I guarantee you, you'll have some milkweed in a year. And that's always a good thing. The staghorn sumac in my yard is just starting to fleck, and open area sumacs are doing quite well and flecking quite, turning quite a bit toward the red. But those are smooth sumac, and they're out in the opens in the forest where this staghorn sumac is, and the smooth sumac that's growing in shaded areas, I think I already mentioned, they're beginning to get quite brightly red right now. So keep an eye out on the sumac. It's really one of the absolutely gorgeous plants of the fall here in northern Minnesota. Finally, a note about the woolly alder aphid. So you're driving along or you're walking along and you see these patches of pure white on these stems, and the plant that you're going to find them on has these big green leaves on them, and that is the speckled alder. And the aphids are insects that are covering those branches, and they excrete a kind of a waxy substance which makes them less than palatable to their enemies. And of course their enemies are those Asian lady beetles that you have so many of trying to find a shelter in your home. Those guys are out there controlling the aphids, and the woolly alder aphid is just one of many. And an interesting thing about these aphids is that they can reproduce asexually. It's called parthenogenesis. And they don't need to mate with a male in order to have birth, to give birth. All the babies that they give birth to are going to be females, but all of those babies can do the same thing. So you can get quite a population of aphids in a pretty quick hurry. So watch the alders. Watch for these snow-white patches of what looks like fuzz on the branches of the alders, and those are the woolly alder aphids. That's the Phenology Show for this week. As always, stay tuned. We'll have more to say about nature in a week.
Go to KEXE.org to listen to Phenology or sign up for the podcast. You can also find the student reports there as well.